Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
So we're in a series over the last 3 weeks that is called Bless. It's a framework, five ways to love your neighbor and change the world. And it comes from a book by Dave and John Ferguson. They're pastors and authors in the Chicago area, church planters. And God had kind of really put this in. And it's not about a formula. It's not a program. They're about habits. They're about ways in which that we can live our lives to genuinely introduce people to Jesus and his grace and his mercy and his love and his message of truth. Last week, we laid the foundation of B. Does anybody remember what B was? Begin with prayer. Good, a few of you remember. You know, as a pastor, sometimes you wonder, does anybody remember what you preach? Begin with prayer. Today, we're going to unpack L. And L is simply this. Listen. Listen. Let me ask you, have you ever called a customer service line, you're needing help desperately with something, and all of a sudden you get an automated message that says, for this, press 1. And if you need something with this, press 2. And if you need something with this, press 3. And you get to the end of their 1, 2, 3, 4, however many, and you go, that didn't help me. That's not what I need, right? And I don't know, if you're like me, I get impatient. I just start hitting 0, right? And then sometimes I get put on hold, and when I'm on hold, I get this message. Thank you so much for calling. You are really important to us. Your problem is really important to us. You're really important to us. And so we value you. Just be on hold. And I want to scream, if it was really important to you, you'd have a real person answering the phone. If I was really important to you, right? But oftentimes, I think when it comes to life, we're so busy that when people around us truly have need, we're looking about how to fix it. We want to know, press 1 for this, press 2 for this, can I help you with this, press 3 for this. And we never really take the time to listen to find out what's really going on and understand it. We're in a fix-it mode. Sometimes people just want to be heard. Sometimes people just want to be known. Sometimes people just want to be loved, right? And so the reality is, I think we live in a world where nobody really genuinely listens, but everybody likes to talk. Take social media, for example. Everybody wants to share their opinion, and they really don't care about yours. Whoops. Right? It's true. Oftentimes, I don't know about you, but when you're talking to somebody, have you ever found, and I'm guilty of this, they're not really listening to you? In the middle of what you're saying, they're queuing up the next thought, the next thing they want to say or how they want to respond right in the middle, and they're not really hearing you. Don't hit your spouse, please. or else they're doing something else, and they're going, and you're like, they did not hear a word I say, and you want to throw something in there that's off the wall to see if they're really listening to you. How many have ever done that before? And you've caught somebody not really listening. Yeah, there's a few of you, yeah. I think we have a real listening problem. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of getting distracted. I'm guilty of not truly listening, of being so busy that I'm not slowing down enough to really get to know people. But when I look at the life of Jesus, even though he had a lot of demands on his life, even though there was a lot of people pulling at him and a lot of needs, Jesus never seemed hurried. He never seemed rushed, and he always seemed being willing to engage with the people that he came. And we see this really beautifully illustrated in John chapter 4. That's where we're going to be this morning. John chapter 4, starting in verse 3. John chapter 4, starting in verse 3. And it simply says this: he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. And he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, about noon. And a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Let's pause right there for a moment. Noon, about the sixth hour, the hottest part of the day. Most people would have been home by now. They would have come out early in the morning, and before the hot, scorching sun came out, they would have been gone. They would have gotten the water. They didn't have the plumbing that we have or the natural flow of water that we have. And this woman comes out. She's alone. She's drawing water in the heat of the day, which says something about her social standing. She was an outcast. She was avoiding the other crowd, avoiding the other people that would have come out in the morning, the other ladies that would have come out in the morning. And in that moment of isolation, Jesus, who's tired and weary from the journey, obviously thirsty, he sits down at this well. She comes out to draw water, and Jesus does not ignore her, but he engages her. He engages her in a conversation. That's what we're going to see here in John chapter 4. He didn't preach a sermon at her. He didn't ignore her. He didn't begin with a confrontation like, "Hey, what are you doing out here? This isn't the time when you come out to draw water. What's your problem?" He didn't do that. Instead, he starts to initiate a conversation and listening to her. Let me share with you five powerful truths about listening this morning. Number one, listening begins with intentional presence. Intentional presence. Notice the text says Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Now you may say, had to pass through Samaria. Why would he have to pass through Samaria? We're going to unpack some of the problems and some of the tensions that happened between the Jews and the Samaritans. But most Jews that had to come, if they were traveling either from Judah and Jerusalem in the south to Galilee in the north, the Samaria was right in the middle. A lot of them would go out of their way to avoid Samaria. They would go out of their way and they would go around and they would take extra miles and extra time just to avoid Samaria. But that's not what we see here. Jesus had to go through Samaria. It wasn't just about geography or a way to be able to get from one place to another. What this tells me is it was intentional. It was intentional. There was a woman who needed to be heard, who God loved, who God saw. He sees her. And Jesus says, "We got to go through Samaria." He moved towards her. And the scripture says that he was sitting beside the well. Notice he's not rushing. He's not distracted by something else. He doesn't have something else that he's moving to on his schedule. He sits down. A posture of sitting down is intentional. It's being emotionally and physically present. Brad Briscoe makes a beautiful observation about listening. And the English word for listen comes from two Anglo-Saxon words. Get this. One means hearing, and the other means to wait in suspense. Hearing, and then to wait in suspense. How many of you know that when it comes to listening, it's not just about what goes in your ear canal? Right? It truly is about understanding. It's not just hearing the words, but it's understanding what's being said. How many know that words aren't the only way in which we communicate? Right? What we see, our facial expressions, our tone of voice, and our eye contact, and all of these kinds of things go into explaining or understanding what is being said. So waiting in suspense, it's hearing and waiting in suspense. And if you're going to do that, you have to be active, you have to be present, and you have to be unhurried. You have to be unhurried. It means showing up. So let me just share with you a question that I've been wrestling with when I take a look at this passage and other things in Jesus' life, and that is this: are you interruptible? Are you interruptible? What do I mean by that? Do you have space that if God were to bring somebody into your path that he wants to love, that has a need, that needs to be listened to, do you have room and margin enough to be able to pause and be present so that you can be used by Jesus to listen and love someone that needs to be loved? Are you interruptible, or are you too distracted? Is there too much going on? I have to ask this question. There's a lot going on. But can I be interrupted when there's a moment, a spiritual moment, when Jesus wants to love somebody and wants them to know that he hears them? The Holy Spirit oftentimes leads us not just to places, but to people. A neighbor that just happens to be outside when you drive up and you're tempted to open up the garage door and drive inside and then close it because you don't want to have that conversation. I can't be the only one. Come on, don't make me feel bad, right? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, years ago, every house had a front porch and the garage was separated and, you know, it was the place to be able to be outside. You'd get to know your neighbors and that. Now we build back decks and no front porches because you don't sit on the front. You sit in the back behind your fenced-in backyard so that you can isolate yourself and not have to talk or get to know your neighbors. I'm just being real. Because we got a lot going on. We like to think that the relationships all happen on Facebook because look how many friends I have and followers I have, but you can't go deep. Right? Okay. Are we too busy, too distracted, too consumed with our own momentum to recognize the divine appointments that God brings our way? It comes with listening. Dallas Willard said something powerful. He said this: the first act of love is giving your attention to someone. The first act of love is giving your attention to someone. And Jesus gives his attention to this woman at the well. Second, listening breaks barriers. Listening breaks barriers. It opens up the conversation. And Jesus opened up the conversation. And what did he ask? Give me a drink. And to us, we would go, give me a drink at a well. Absolutely. Would you give me a drink? What's wrong with giving me a drink? Until you understand what comes next. And verse 9 tells us everything we need to know. Here's verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? And then in parentheses, we have this little explanation. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. She's addressing the barriers. Right? She's addressing the barriers that are going on, the Jewish-Samaritan controversy and animosity that had been building up for decades and years that had happened. The gender barriers. You're a Jewish man. I'm a Samaritan woman. This is not going to be kosher, my friend. Right? The social barriers that are there and the unspoken weight of her own. Like, I show up at noon because nobody is here. So what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And why are you asking me for a drink? What do you got? What's your problem? What do you want from me? Can't be just water, right? Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Why? Why didn't Jews have dealings with Samaritans? Well, one author of an article that I read this week, Marshall Segal, he shared that in the beginning, the nation of Israel had 12 tribes, each one of them for the 12 sons of Jacob. And the capital of that nation was and is Jerusalem. So in the south is Jerusalem. But under King Solomon, his son Rehoboam, he made some errors in leadership as a young man. And as a result of that, 10 of the tribes of Israel broke away. And they became known as the northern kingdom of Israel under Jeroboam's leadership. Well, during that time, they set up their own capital. It wasn't in Jerusalem. It was in Samaria. It was in Samaria. And so they began to take over that area. And during that time, they began to intermarry. And so you had those who came in, and Jews began to intermarry with Gentiles. And so you had a half-Jewish, half-Gentile people whose capital city in the northern kingdom was Samaria. And they didn't serve Jehovah. They began to serve the other gods. And so they called them Samaritans after their capital city of Samaria. And one scholar writes this: the ethnic and cultural boundary between the Jews and Samaritans was every bit as rigid and hostile as the current boundary between blacks and whites in most racist areas of the United States. Animosity. Animosity. Imagine refusing someone something as simple as a drink of water because of these tensions and animosity that was building. But notice, when she comes back at Jesus, How does Jesus respond? I don't know about you, but sometimes we might respond defensively. How does Jesus respond? He doesn't flinch. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't try to explain away these cultural tensions or these kinds of things. Jesus instead listens and keeps the conversation going. Let's read about it. Verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you got nothing to draw from. I don't see a bucket." "Where's your bucket at? I don't see a bucket. You have nothing to draw water with. And this well is deep." This well is deep. And then she goes on to say, "Where do you get that living water? Are you greater?" Here she is. She's beginning to enter into a religious conversation, right? Part getting to the heart. This is what it is. You Jews think you got the corner market and all this stuff, living water. You're bringing something spiritual into it. Let me tell you, do you think you're greater than our father Jacob? He's the one that gave us this well, right? And he drank from it himself. And his sons and his livestock. I know you Jews. I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say that we're not pure and what you have is better than what we have, living water. Right? She's just going at it with him, right? And how does Jesus respond? He's listening. He's taking it in. And he says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." Listen, I'm not having a spiritual, I'm having a spiritual conversation, but I want you to know I'm not here to argue with you about religion. "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. For the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling to eternal life." Welling to eternal life. And you're like, "Oh, she got saved." Not yet. She says to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come," this is the last line, "or have to come here to draw water." See, in the conversation, as Jesus is listening, he begins to come back with something that really dives down deep in the well, goes down deep, and it starts to expose what the real dryness was in her life, the dryness in her soul, because she says, "Okay, that's great. Then I'll never have to come back here again." Why? I don't want to come back here. I didn't want to come back here in the morning because that's when all these other people are. And there's some things about my life, and we're going to see it as we go along. There's some things about my life that have not gone well. There's some hurts that I have. There's some things that I have. It is not good in my life. So you know what? If you're offering me that and I never have to come back here again, then go ahead and give it to me. Go ahead and give it to me. Jesus engages her. He engages her curiosity. He does it respectfully. He treats her as somebody that is worthy of a response. And he allows her to be able to share and to be able to push back a little bit. That's how conversation goes. How many know you don't agree with everybody? Right? I don't agree with everybody. The problem is today is if we don't agree with everybody, we got to cancel everybody. If I don't agree with you, I cancel you. What happened? What's happened to the conversations? What happened to the ability to be able to engage in conversation but not cancel the relationship as a result just because we don't agree? I think as followers of Jesus, we have to be better than that. We might not always get to control, but we have to be better than that. Jesus listened. It was a countercultural power that began to communicate to this woman, you know what? You matter. You matter. You matter to God. Theologian David Osberger put it plainly this. He said, "Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable." Let me read that again. "Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable." When you truly listen to somebody, you are loving them. You are loving them. When you listen to them, you are loving them. Jesus didn't argue his way into this woman's life. He listened his way in. Number three, listening discerns the deeper need. After the conversation had flowed for a while and trust had been built, she says, tell me this, so I don't have to come back to this well. Jesus says to her this, "Go call your husband and come here." Now, if you're not familiar with the story, this was a, you go, Jesus. but he was drawing something out. Go call your husband and come here. And she says, listen, I'm not married. And he said, you're right that you have no husband. And then he says this in verse 18, for you have had five husbands, and the one you are now that you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Listen, Jesus knew about the five previous marriages. He knew about the relationship she was in right now. And he wasn't stepping away from that. He had to engage that in a loving way in order for her to begin to see the healing that she really needed in her life. He didn't lead with that information, though. Jesus didn't sit down at the well and lead with that information. Instead, he allowed the discernment of the Holy Spirit to cause him to ask her a question that drew it out in a way that he could begin to speak truth over her. That he could begin to speak truth. You see, she came for water, but what she really needed was living water. Friends, she came with a jar to fill up a big thing, and she was carrying shame and guilt and a whole lot more than that. And the midday isolation was heavy upon her. But beyond that tough exterior was a wounded and hurting person. And Jesus listened his way to be able to get there. Michael Frost defines deep listening this way. It's the suspension of judgment and being fully present with another person to understand or experience their point of view. It involves more than just hearing the words that are shared, but tapping into the deeper unspoken needs and feelings of the person. Deep listening is done with the heart as well as the mind. If you're a business person, if you've ever read Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, it's habit number 5. It's this: seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. And if that is a principle that is strategic in business, how much more so is that a principle that we ought to follow as followers of Jesus Christ? Francis Schaeffer, one of the greatest Christian philosophers and apologists, he once was asked this: if you had 1 hour to be able to share the gospel with someone, what would you say? What would you do? And he said, I would spend the first 55 minutes listening, and the final 5 minutes, then I'd have something genuinely meaningful to say. Listen. Listening is not rushing. It's wisdom, right? I need to understand you. Help me to get to know you. Help me for you to listen to you so that you feel loved. You know that I care about you. That I care about you, that I genuinely care about you, and I want to begin to understand. And when you do that, you say, God, give me a Holy Spirit awareness to see beyond the surface to the real need, to the real need. Let's move on. We're running out of time. Number 4, listening creates space for truth. What happens next is one of the most striking moments in the entire story. After this long, winding, deep personal conversation, Jesus has heard her story. Jesus engaged in her theology. And then he opened up and revealed the wound. She says to him in John 4:25, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. She's perceiving there's something about Jesus, right? There's something about him she's perceiving. And Jesus simply says to her, I love this. He says, I who speak to you am he. John 4:26. I who speak to you am he. Do you know that this is the first time in the Gospel of John where Jesus actually revealed who he really was? The first time, his identity. He doesn't do it to the Pharisees or the religious leaders. He doesn't even do it to his own disciples. He does it to a Samaritan woman at a well. Why? Because in the conversation of listening and opening up, he recognized that she was at a place where the truth of that could land. Finally, the truth of that could land. Why? Because he listened. That's the model. Jesus doesn't lead with theological arguments. He doesn't lead with trying to convince somebody of the truth. He leads with connection. Building a relationship, loving people so that when there is an opportunity to share truth, it has a tender heart to which to land on and be received. Tom Hughes, in his book Curious, points out that throughout the 4 Gospels, Jesus asked 183 questions. In the 4 Gospels, 183 questions. Do you know how many he directly answers? Four. Because oftentimes he either responds with another question or a parable or a story or something like that. Jesus was not an answer machine. He just learned how to ask good questions that drew out the truth in people. He was a good listener. And sharing Jesus isn't a script, friends. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. It's not just broadcasting our message out to a crowd. It's about listening. Pete Scazzaro described this as incarnational listening. We did emotionally healthy relationships. And he says it's incarnational listening. This is what he says. To listen incarnationally is to enter into another person's world at a heart level with the empathy of Christ, attending to their nonverbal cues as well as their words. This is how we demonstrate our love for them. We truly listen to what they say and feel what they feel, and in doing so, by God's grace, they experience the presence of Christ through us. Listening. It breaks down those barriers and it opens up these opportunities. Finally, number five, listening leads to transformation and mission. What happens next is one of my favorite parts of the story. John 4, 28 to 30. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and they were coming to him. She leaves her water jar and runs into town. The very thing she had come out with, she leaves behind because she found something greater in Jesus. She found something greater in Jesus. And she tells everybody, "Come meet a man. Come meet a man." An entire village, an entire town got to know about Jesus because he spent a little bit of time listening to a woman who was in need and demonstrating God's love for her, saying, "I see you. I see you. I hear you. I'm listening to you." How powerful is that, isn't it? How powerful. How powerful is that? And that is the power of listening. So begin with prayer, and then you move into listening. Don't underestimate the power of a single attentive conversation. Your listening just might be the turning point in somebody's life. Leighton Ford, I'm going to close with this. Worship team, will you come? Leighton Ford, renowned Christian writer and evangelist, he put it this way. Attentiveness is one of the most difficult concepts to grasp and for one of the hardest disciplines to learn. For we are very distractible people in a very distracting world. God wants us to be attentive people. And as he is an attentive God, many of the words of God in the Bible call his people to look, to see, to listen, and to give heed. Friends, if God is attentive, shouldn't we as his people be attentive? Shouldn't we be listeners to those in the world around us? So here's the question that I want us to close with today, and that is this. Who in your life have you been talking to or talking at instead of listening to? Who in your life have you been talking at instead of listening to? Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a teenager in your house, maybe it's a parent who's getting older. Maybe it's a friend whose politics you disagree with, or a person whose life choices you don't understand. Maybe it's somebody that you've been trying so hard to fix that you never actually stop to listen. Who's that person for you? This week, I want to encourage you to practice the L in bless. Last week, we began beginning with prayer. This week, I want you to pause and listen. What do you got to do that? What margin do you need to create? What space do you need to create in your schedule to do that so that you can truly listen? Maybe a conversation with a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, or maybe you're just out running some errands in the grocery store and somebody's trying to engage you in conversation, but you've got your list and, man, I got to get these things because I got to get out of here, not recognizing that the person that's trying to engage you is somebody who's lonely, who Jesus has given a divine appointment for you to pause for a few moments of your day and attentively listen and love them in the process. Friends, again, just as David Osberger reminds us, being heard is as close as some will ever be to being loved. to being loved. So let's pray this week. Lord, give us ears to hear. Jesus, help us be fully present. Let us be attentive. Let us be aware of the people in our lives that you want us to listen to, so that we can build a bridge to them receiving you. And then finally this morning, maybe you're here and like the woman at the well, you've experienced condemnation before, but today I want you to know that you can experience his love today. I think that for someone in here, Jesus might be at the well of your life, listening and offering you living water and healing today, offering you salvation and hope today. And if you'd like to respond, I'm going to close in prayer, and I just want to invite you to respond as we pray together, to respond and say, Jesus, I want to receive you and your love today in my life. Let's bow our heads today. If that's you this morning and you say, that's me, Jesus, I feel like he's been talking to me this morning at the well of my life, and I need to respond. I need the living water that he offers today. I need his salvation. If that's you and you're here today, as I pray, you just say, Pastor, will you include me in that prayer? Pastor, I need the living water of Jesus. Will you slip up your hand today? Just let me know so that I can pray for you. Yeah. Jesus, we thank you today that you're the living water. And Lord, for those that need to know the hope that they have in you, I just pray that, Jesus, you would just love them today. And that, Father, you would just speak to our hearts, letting us know the forgiveness and grace that is offered in you for whatever the hurt or the pain that we've walked in, that you would provide that healing and salvation today. And Father, I pray that you would allow us to listen, to be open to hear, and to truly listen and engage and love the people around us that you love and that you care about. God, make us attentive to those that you bring in our path, that you desire for us to simply love by listening. So that, Father, we might build a bridge that they might hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit painesvilleag.com.